open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
I put in an embarrassing amount of time. I just hit Torment 3 today with ease, though I'm at the point where I'm pushing the pit a couple levels higher than the entry to Torment 3 and flying through it without a problem, but getting absolutely one shot by bosses. Like, my armor's not high enough or my life. I need to get some, and I'm moving too. So it's just like stray homing fireballs that are like taking me out. But I mean, I'm cakewalking everything right now. So
yeah, I had that
pretty nice.
I had that last season whenever I was finishing up like the tier 3. It's like I would cakewalk things all the way through to tier 4 and everything. It's like I would start cakewalking, but then I'd get it's at that level 100 area where it's
in the pits.
Yeah, where it's like you start going a little bit above it and then just, you know, all of a sudden, oh crap, my health is almost gone.
I maxed at like 120, 120-ish pits.
Yeah.
Like before it just became kind of a slog and it was kind of a roll of the dice if, you know, we are going to make it in time.
Yeah. It's like, but depending on the enemy.
First four greater affix item.
Nice.
Which I am super hype about because that was on my Umbercrux, which I needed for my build anyway. So it's like a maxed out Umbercrux.
Cool.
Pretty sick. Yeah, his hopes. Everybody listening that has no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Get Diablo. You'll like it. You're welcome.
Yeah. His hopes of ever losing his virginity is Paragon.
Oh. Too bad she's just as addicted as I am.
I've been laughing about that for 5 minutes. Well, no, not 5 minutes. At least a minute and a half.
That's funny.
On to the manly things. I've been playing, Destiny 2.
You're a loser.
But a stupid amount of Fortnite, man.
I've seen that. It's got your hooks. It's got its hooks in you, huh?
In a bad, bad, bad way. But yeah, it's, dude, the no build thing, it changed everything. It's some of the most fun I've had playing a game. It definitely scratches that just one more itch.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that everybody we know plays it. Dave, Ryan, and I got a win last night, and we got another win today.
Beautiful.
Just crushing people. I got my first solo win a couple days ago. It's changed.
Nice.
There was a Xenomorph skin in the store for like a day and I bought it instantly and I've not taken it off and I've had 3 wins since I bought it. So,
hey, that's your lucky charm right there.
There's either something that, there, man.
Or
the fucking Xenomorph
out,
skin.
They scanned your stats and they're like, this guy doesn't have a lot of wins. He barely plays. Let's get him hooked.
There's apparently also a Leatherface skin soon to come out and I'm also snagging that right the fuck up.
They're running out of time. They needed to get this out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yo, they need to odd job this shit and put in Chucky.
Oh.
They do have...
right?
That little,
that's
the
a
little
reference
saw
only
dude.
Some people will get.
The little saw dude, he's in the game right
Jigsaw.
Now as a weapon. He, yeah, the little puppet, though.
Billy the Puppet?
Yeah, Billy the Puppet. He's like a bomb that you can like throw out and he like slowly floats towards people and blows up.
Oh, that's pretty sick. I saw a bunch of people crying that they, I don't know, vaulted, I guess, the jetpack or hover pack.
Oh, yeah, which is good, man. Like, hover pack is hard to counter. It was pretty much if you had to have that to get a chance to win. I've had a lot more wins since they put it up right now. I'll tell you that.
Nice. So it's basically all the people that just like hightailed it to the jetpack.
Yeah, that were using it as a crutch and now they can't get wins without it. And they're just bitching. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
True as it can be.
Yeah. What are you going to do, huh? But no, play Diablo, play Fortnite. They are both shockingly fun. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you to play Destiny anymore because I'm still riding it out. I'm having a good time. It was weird how differently it controls because I hadn't played it in a long time and trying to go back. I've also been playing a shitload of Silent Hill 2, which, by the way, holy crap, top tier stuff right there, fellas.
Wait, are we talking about the remake?
Yeah.
So you actually were able to hop into it?
Yeah, since I've streamed it, there was a bunch of settings you can do to make it run really smooth, and I've had no issues since.
Awesome.
I'm all the way up to the hospital, taking my time. Dude, it's so fucking good. What I love that they're doing is similar to what the Final Fantasy VII remake did, is that it is the same story, but they've changed it some, but they also explain why it's changed. It's really good.
An alternate universe Silent Hill?
So in this one, it's more of a loop, because there's been a couple times you come across these badly decomposed bodies, but their clothes are wearing exactly what James is wearing in the game. So you almost think this eternal loop where Silent Hill is never letting him out to get, he's stuck in this hell forever, and he just, even if he dies, he just restarts.
Kind of like Returnal, where you'll die and then you'll come across your body that you just died in.
Sort of. Although I don't think this is actually that unique, where it tracks where you died at. These are just story related, because it'll focus in on them for a sec. Like the camera will change.
There's just a developer salt baying in bodies. Body over here, body over there. That is James.
Well, other than you can go to different places that were significant in the first Silent Hill on the PS2, and they're not there, but you can still go to them, and it'll they're still affected. I don't know. It's cool stuff. That's dope, it's eternal. Dude. Like this fence that Pyramid Head throws you through in the first Silent Hill 2 is still broken in this game in the exact same way. So it's continuously happening.
That's freaking sweet, dude.
So yeah. That's been my gaming journey lately. Brooks, you brought a new toy? Well, I didn't see it when you were showing it off. What the hell is this?
So this is a VKB Sim Omni Throttle. So it's basically for my... I play Elite Dangerous.
Oh, shit.
And this
shit.
Is so I could do dual sticks instead of a stick throttle.
Isn't that a sniper game?
No, that is a space sim.
Yeah, that's a space sim.
What am I thinking of? Elite Sniper, probably.
Probably.
What an idiot.
Sniper Elite? Those Sniper games are, Elite. Yeah, oh, we that's watched it. Those clip shows of that guy that kills people in that invasion one. That's Sniper
The
Elite.
Old guy.
Yeah.
Is he old guy?
Oh, dude, I follow this guy on Instagram. It's Grandpa Games or something like that. It's some old war vet that just plays Call of Duty and annihilates people.
That's awesome.
And is just laughing about it. Anyways, back to your toy.
But yeah, so it's... I have my normal flight stick, which is, pretty normal. This one's just angled at angled a little bit to feel like a throttle, but has free movement. So
that's pretty dope, dude.
A friend of mine got it for me because I was house sitting for him all summer.
Oh, that's fucking sweet.
So
that's has it really changed how you play the game? Is it just
right now it's, I have to basically relearn how to fly and redo all my key bindings, but it's a little bit more intuitive in some way. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's because of it being, spaceships, it feels a little bit more natural with two hands. Controlling your ship than just the stick and the throttle. So, but I've been playing that, and for some odd reason, I've been on a Vampire Survivors kick.
That's what I've seen you've been playing.
I see you keep popping into that as well. Yeah. And there's no need to explain yourself.
It's just so addicting. And I'm trying to finish
it.
And I'm trying to finish it out.
In 3 years.
I'm trying to finish it out too. It's I've nearly unlocked all the characters, and that includes the DLC characters. So
I stopped sleeping when I was playing that game.
Oh, It's like I've got one more run, but each run runs about 30 minutes if you do the full stage.
If you get a good one going.
Yes.
And it's like, and I've got everything unlocked, and I usually have a plan going in that I can get all the stuff I need to just continue going. And now it's to the point where I can last like 32 minutes at least in a non-endless game.
That's incredible. Well, that's dope for you. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but when I was younger, I had like a lot of on the computer, like a lot of racing game, like Need for Speed, Porsche Unleashed. Had that. That game was pretty dope. It's before it went all like street. We had like a lot of NASCAR games. And we also, my dad also always had like flight simulator games. So a lot of times he went all out when he was gaming. So he had like a steering wheel with pedals, and he had like, you know, the flight stick kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. But it sounds like Elite Dangerous is like the perfect game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not bad because it has on foot as well as in the spaceship too now. So
sure.
Space combat is pretty fun. Ground combat is still, it's okay. Not the best, but I do a lot of exploring anyway. So I just I usually don't get out unless I'm doing exobiology. And that's just basically scanning plants or scanning bacteria. But it's real.
Is that
real fun?
Is it single player or is it multiplayer?
Oh, it's multiplayer. It has three modes of play: open, private, and solo. So you can.
Can you pirate people's ship?
Yeah.
That's fucking tight.
Yeah. In fact, there are some pirates out there that will interdict your ship, and they will hold you hostage unless you tell them a joke.
What if you just boot out of the game?
That actually, I think there is a specific thing in the terms of service that says that you can't just, like, it can be a bannable offense of some sort.
Yo, don't be a bad sport. You got taken hostage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be a good hostage.
I mean, if you're in combat logging is definitely frowned upon. Most people will keep track of that name because it keeps a good list of people you're in combat with too. Players that you have met, and they will just put you on blast, and you'll get ganked to oblivion probably. But
everybody chases you down because you're a scum.
But the reverse happens too. There is. If you gank people, you can pretty much, you know, just say, hey, this guy's a known ganker, kill on sight. It got really bad there for a minute. One of the things, so this has made tech news a few times too. One of the things that got introduced a couple years ago was fleet carriers. So players could buy a ship, they could jump 500 light years. Your normal ship can jump anywhere between, say, 10 to 70 light years. Okay? Mm-hmm. Newer ships, the new players get started with a ship that could probably only jump about 10, you know, maximum light years. So what these guys do is that they promised big money mining for them to get on their fleet carriers, and they jump to a remote system that a player couldn't, you know, jump out of, and then basically slavery mine them.
Oh, damn.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
This is a game that I've seen pop up in the news a bunch over the years, right?
It's this one of them, yes.
And, what's the other big one? EVE Online.
EVE Online gets on there for, like, because that one actually results in, like, monetary, real money loss.
Yeah.
For some people.
Yeah, that shit's nutso.
Like, somebody can just blow you up and you've lost, like, all the money that you put into the game.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's some
dog shit.
The actual, like, some of the guilds in the game, There was one I recall reading about a couple of years ago that this guy basically stole a guild because he got...
I think this is one that I remember
reading. Yeah, because he got on the board of an inactive guild and then voted all the other board members off. Mm-hmm. And took everything.
He squatters righted it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fire.
Yeah, and some of those people, like, they control, like, there's these in-game corporations that have, like, hundreds of ships worth, like, you know, a couple of thousands of in-world real money. You know, that's...
Yeah.
That's not so... I tell you, fellas, what I'd be scared of, like, if I had to jump through space-time... would be ending up in the void.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what you're scared of?
No, I just wanted a segue.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a bad
segue,
one.
Kyle.
It wasn't bad at all.
I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, what else new?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The void, Brooks's choice for Brookstober this month or this year.
Hey, but yes. Yes, and. Both yeah. applied. Third movie of the month. Coming hot off of what? We did Hush, In the Mouth of Madness, and now mm-hmm. we're finishing up as our individual picks with The Void.
Yep.
I'll say right off the rip, Brooks, good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I was very excited for you guys to see this because I've seen this before. And this movie is a huge love letter to John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah. It's just, like The Thing. If The Thing took place in Hillbilly Town, USA in a hospital, and the story doesn't make any sense. It's like, I don't think this movie had a seizure warning anywhere on it, but this was seizure the movie.
There could be some flashing imagery. Yeah.
Nonstop.
That's one of those lower budgety things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That comes into play. One of the things I like about movies of this ilk is the type of movie where, like, no matter what, the character is so far beyond screwed and they don't even realize it. Like, like no matter what you do, dude, this has been in motion from beyond your control for years at this point, and like you can't do anything about it. I love shit like that.
Yeah. It's like one of those, wow, it really sucks that you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time when all of this was happening, because now you boned.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was pretty clear pretty early a lot of the later on story beats that were going to happen. Well, I say story beats, but it's just like this movie just kept going. Like it would go off the rails and then somehow find a train track underneath the rails and land on there just to go off the rails again.
Like, it's this like movie. It's like the minecarts in Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong. Yeah. This shit was going off the tracks like crazy.
But it still worked. How?
Yeah.
Oh.
From beginning to end, I was there for it. I don't normally typically like to really talk about previous shows on here because that requires somebody to actually go back. But this time, guys, go back and listen to In the Mouth of Madness. This was one of the movies that just, you know, there's no pivot point for me where the movie changed at all. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm kind of out of it. Because right off the rip, this movie's like, what the fuck is happening? It starts with that barn scene and them trying to shoot the guy.
Yep.
And then within like 10 minutes, they're in the hospital. Like some chick stabbing a dude in the eye. Her face has tentacles grown out of it.
Yeah.
And then there's teleporting cult people outside the hospital. And you're like, what the hell's going on? Okay, let's see.
Like it starts off with them blasting that girl in the back with a shotgun and then burning her alive. And like, that's a pretty good performance from that chick. And then, yeah, like, we get to the hospital, we have the playful banter and, like, the flirting with the guy in the bed and the just out of nursing school, whatever, the intern, little girl.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of flirty. And then, like, yeah, dude, without even realizing it, they go back there and, like, the other nurse has, like, she didn't even die. She just got corrupted. And she has these tentacles come out. She stabbed the dude in the face with what?
With scissors.
The scissors. Ah!
Because right she was in the eye. Her face with the scissors.
Yeah, dude.
Like, flaying her own face. She ends up getting shot when she runs out. The main character of this is a deputy named Daniel. And he's the one that came across the guy that that made it away from the barn from what we presumed to be crazy murderous folk that killed
James,
this woman.
James, the heroin drifter, which if you've James watched any Simon. Of Letterkenny, he's one of the meth heads in Letterkenny, which was hilarious to see. He's the one that always goes, Sturt! Sturt! Letterkenny fucking rules. So that was great. And obviously,
he's the one that got away.
If you didn't put it together before you recognized him, this movie was obviously shot in Canada, which, again, budgetary makes sense. Mm-hmm. The budgetary man gives us the beautiful practical effects, man. That's what people talk about in this movie. That's what piqued its interest to me back so long ago and why I saw it when I did, because it was on like one of the horror blogs or websites that like everything in the void was done with practical effects as like number one, because they wanted to as an homage to a lot of their favorite movies, i.e. The Thing. And also just because it is cheaper than trying to get fancy CG stuff when the practical stuff will look better anyways. I think I'll nitpick a little bit later because I do have some complaints. But overall, like the practical effects in this fucking movie are fantastic. They got the great tentacles, tons of gore.
I have complaints about this movie, and it has nothing to do with the practical effects, mm-hmm. with the visuals, with really any of that. It's, again, it's kind of nitpicky, but we'll get there later.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got Vincent and Simon shooting that girl, and all of a sudden, like, James is in the hospital and they like hunt him down all the way to this hospital. And like you said, everybody's just fucked from the get go. Like mm-hmm. if Simon and Vincent stayed back at the barn, they would still probably be boned, even though they lit that girl on fire. Who knows? You know, Simon has a wound on his neck. Who knows if he's going to turn at that point from what they know.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what took his voice, too. All this to say, kudos, Brooks. Fantastic choice. What put the void onto your radar? Because you hadn't seen that before this, right?
Right. So it's kind of the same thing that got some of the other movies I've suggested in the past. It's on like one of those movie lists of, you know, good of horror movies, or in this case, I think
my
it was like cosmic horror. Movie list.
Definitely very cosmic horror.
So, in which I have been into quite a bit lately. So I was like, I need to sit down and watch this movie. And I thought, you know, what better time than Brookstober?
There you go. Apropos about nothing, and do with it as you will, but if you're also into cosmic horror, The Color and the Shape with Nicolas Cage is a...
It is on my list.
Color out of space.
Color and Shape is a metal record, I think. I highly recommend that too. But yeah, this movie has so much of the Eldritch horror thing-esque weirdness. I love that it also messes with space-time, because at one point they decide they need to go to the cop car to get the shotgun. And when they go outside and they look and they're like, hey, I thought you said you were parked right outside the front door, and we see it, and it's like stretched way far out, and like they've just manipulated everything to where it's super far away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I love, like, the cult people
who like they just appear and disappear, like they teleport. There's that one scene though where he runs at him. That's when he gets stabs Daniel in the chest. Which was a really cool scene, because I was like, holy fuck.
That slow stab.
Dead right off the rip. That's crazy.
That slow penetration of the knife into the chest.
It was very like, what was that? Saving Private Ryan. There's a gnarly scene, or Black Hawk Down. One of them.
Yeah. And I really like the guy that played Daniel, the main character. I thought he fucking nailed all of the perfect emotional levels for what I would imagine I would feel had I gone through something similar. He plays the exasperated what the fuckness perfectly.
Yeah. 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 Aaron Poole did a very good job. The acting, I'll say, was all over the place in this movie.
Yeah,
in terms
of
quality. And that was actually my nitpick on the movie. Like the scene with Ben and Kim later when she's like, I can't do the C-section. He's like, you gotta do it.
I was going to ask you, who do you think's bad at it? And definitely Grandpa's a bad. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Even like his
so
death
bad.
Scene, like he died. It just goes, gah! And then they're just like, they're done. They even cut to his body later. And it's just like, he's literally laying as straight as possible.
In the most boring way. Yeah.
Like, I do love how it's his daughter that gets him. That caught me off guard so fucking hardcore the first time I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see.
His throat.
I thought it was another cult member, and then they get, because, you know, they just kind of appear out of nowhere. But then it's her, and I'm like, okay.
It makes all the sense. It's not like a weird twist that like feels cheap and unearned. You're like, as soon as it all comes click together, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's just making everyone pregnant. So, yep.
He's a fucking
Why
psycho.
Why didn't I not see that coming?
Yeah. It was good shit, man.
Yeah.
But I gotta wonder. So I was looking earlier on Wiki about this movie, and the film group that like started putting this together was Astron 6, and they really started making like comedic horror films. And so it's like knowing those roots and kind of something like that. Like, was that intentional? How bad Ben's death scene was when he's like, ugh, like it was so bad that it was kind of funny.
Which one's but Ben? Also,
the dad. They got slashed. Like whole scene was like so bad that it was almost funny, but it like kind of took me out of it. I don't know. I thought it was interesting to see that they had their roots in like comedy horror.
I didn't pick up on that at all.
No,
I thought the dad's death was nice, honorable. I like that he like covered himself in the alcohol and then he burned the Ashley monster, the Sarah monster,
the Sarah monster. No, I'm not talking about that dad. I'm talking about the old man.
Oh, the old man dad. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just a shitty actor.
Okay, that's... Hey,
yeah, yeah.
It was one or the other. I think him some credit here.
Yeah.
Because even, like, his limited screen time, he sucks. I'm being harsh.
No, he's really bad.
Yeah, he's not great.
That was my one nitpick of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have done without him.
He wasn't needed outside of that turn.
Yeah.
I think it helps take the... It helps throw you off the scent of the pregnant girl more. If there was just a lone pregnant girl, I think you would immediately clue up on it. I think having the grandfather there makes it even more innocent. And then you should be more shocked when he does get his fucking throat sliced and it's her that does it and she's smiling and you're like, oh, fuck, what is happening here?
What?
Here's the deal, old man. I'm going to need you to act terribly to really throw everybody off the scent here. Okay?
Shit.
Run this red herring.
Where were we in our... Oh, but the father-son badasses show up.
Like every redneck.
And then I think for like the next half of this movie, they still just seem to be a couple of crazy-ass murderous people until more than halfway through the movie that they kind of revealed
what's
going
on.
We're not just
with
trying
to
kill this guy. This is what happened.
Yeah.
I like that too. Like when his dad snaps and like he finally, you know, he shoots him to bring him out of it. That was really tight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the druggy heroin guy,
James,
wakes up and takes the pregnant girl hostage with a syringe a scalpel that he stole. And then the doctor tries to get it away from him and he kills the doctor, which that also shocked me when I first saw this. I was like, oh shit, I thought the doctor would be like a more, he had main character energy. That's crazy. He's just dead. And, spoiler alert, he was not dead.
He still had main character energy.
He was dead, but he was supposed to die because he went to the void and came back as like this crazy badass self. And this is one of my complaints with the makeup. I thought like they should have just sprung a little bit and CGI'd that nose off. That would have been way cooler.
Mm, go full Vecna.
Yeah, or...
Technically before Vecna.
Sure, I don't know. I haven't seen the latest seasons of
Stranger Things. Those were 2018, 2019. Those were COVID. COVID. Vecna was COVID at time. Yeah. So, and this is a 2016.
Hey, Vecna's from like the 80s. All right. Well, D&D had Vecna a long time ago.
But I think that would have been cool. But
wow, I'm gonna throw myself in the lake.
They paint his whole nose black. That scene's really cool when like he's carving his face off and they've got old girl on the table and when she sees the shit moving her stomach. And I love the fucking reveal later when they're talking. That was very Silent Hill-esque where like he's talking to her normally and then it cuts to what it really looks like in there and she's got all that weird shit and she's dead.
Yeah.
That shit was wild, man.
That looked like a scene straight out of like Diablo. Where you've just got, or Hellraiser, where you just have
a touch for that one too.
Bit
later.
Of your flesh just like strewn about, and like there's ropes coming out of you and tentacles. It was pretty. I've been using this word a lot lately this month, but it was gnarly.
It was
very gnarly. Yeah,
a lot of
and all practical. Smokes. And then he cuts her head off. That was pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty
great. There's a lot of great axe scenes.
He would survive it. Like if he was put in a jigsaw situation, he's surviving.
You think?
This guy, I don't think, has any reservations to really do anything. He would cut off his own hand. I almost guarantee it.
I don't think I could do it, man.
Well, you're not Daniel. Yeah, so. But you mentioned... You know, we've talked about the monster designs a couple of times now. I really like how quickly it escalated. And then even though it escalated just from like you have Betsy's like tentacle face or whatever. The next time you see her, she's just this grotesque, huge monster. And then from there, you... Like, I was sitting there thinking, wow, it really can't go much beyond this. No, the movie just keeps pushing it.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
The Sarah creature is also fucking awesome looking.
With Sarah dragging behind it.
How did that thing just bust out of a girl's stomach?
Yeah. And I love that it's dragging her dead body behind him. The first thing it does is it steps on that dead cultist's face and it just explodes. That is my other one small complaint with it. Like the practical effects are great, but they do like a lot of, because again, budgetary reasons. Like when the thing moves, it's just a close up of them stomping a foot down, and you can kind of see it in some of the wider shots where like the legs are just stumps that sort of shift back and forth, and you see some of the cracks, but I still think it's a fucking great effect on almost every account. It's something I could never even hope to achieve. And it looks fucking fantastic and gross and slimy and green and ugh.
So you know me, I had to look up like how much money went into this movie. And it's hard to find like a real number. If you look up the budget for this movie, it's just like $82,000. Now, that's super misleading because $82,000 was the amount that they raised on Indiegogo for the practical effects.
Okay.
And then they were able to raise money through for the movie itself through other means. So I don't exactly know the budget of the movie, but it's less than $200,000.
Sure. $82,000 is pretty damn good for what they got with the effects. And that's what I'm saying with just like... A little more, man. This could have been... It is, and I'm not shitting on it. It is a fantastically flick, and what they got with what they had is so awesome. I just think imagine this with even just a million. Just if somebody had kicked a million, dude. And a little marketing, because this movie is really fucking good. It's tense. It's short. Mm-hmm. It constantly keeps you like escalating like a good horror thriller should. It's perfectly paced.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. It gives you insane shit, and then it gives you the breather to sort of kind of process what you just saw.
And but then it gives you more. It's going
to take it to a new level. The yeah. whole fucking failed experiments in the basement. And I love the setup that they're the reason
introduction to it
that they burned the hospital. Like, it's Chekhov's hospital that was referenced earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're so fucking creeped out looking. The one dude with just the hollow head that he's in,
he's
such
bashing
pain.
That,
he's just slamming, trying to kill pipe, himself.
Yeah.
And the
yeah,
pipe
but
is going
pipe
through
is
the head.
Burrowed through his head. Yeah.
Dude, that's such a cool fucking shot.
And that was like the first. That was the first experiment that you see when they enter that room. And it's, and again, from there, that is such a gnarly thing to see. It turns and there's a head that's just, it's mush. It's bashed in. There's a hole in the center straight through the back. And then you've got the thing like spider walking. Man.
It's good shit, man.
It grabs, I was grabs so hyped that you guys were going to watch just this. Like smash, 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 smash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He does fucking wreck that dude's face.
Yeah, he wrecks and then the James.
Poor, yeah, that's the crackhead kid or yeah. the meth head kid. He gets dragged back. He's like, no! And then, yeah, just that mm-hmm. part was nasty. I love that.
Yeah. Hey, if John Carpenter couldn't make a whole city disappear with CGI for like $7 million. Like,
right,
these
that's
guys
what I'm
did
saying.
A killer like, job for $82K on what they brought to the table.
I'd like to see
honestly,
what else
John
they can
Carpenter
do.
Should be fucking ashamed of himself.
Because, yeah, these creatures were on camera a whole lot more than the super fancy shit that they paid millions for in Mouth
and
of
they,
Madness that we've
and they
barely
beat the
seen.
Shit out of one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They bashed the Becky monster or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they like took axes to that thing and I mean
give me a
it looked
oh
like
God.
It was
what
just
was
like,
that thing that popped out like its brain came out or something?
Yeah.
Like why are you exposing your brain?
Oh yeah, dude.
This is
when
like
they're
House of the Dead.
It's,
you don't
it's like
that.
It's like a video game, you hit it enough time, then the weak spot comes out. So then it's like so, oh critical boom boom boom
like and again that was one of those scenes. It was so gross.
It was gross so and it was kind of unexpected. It was like what the is it
like,
evolving
what
I don't
is
know.
Happening but oh, that, slap a glowing red mark right there.
Yep.
And
I took it as sort boy. Of like that scene in The Thing where the neck and head rips off. It was just
yeah.
That was part of it trying to escape. And they're mm-hmm. like, nope, kablam.
Yeah.
Or it was really happy to see you. One of those two.
Oh, that could be it too. Could be it too.
So, so the main yeah. story of this movie is that the doctor, it's a movie about loss. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of people have lost their children in this movie. Mm-hmm. And one of them being the doctor that kind of dies, kind of doesn't die. He's already made a pact with these entities from beyond our time to kind of start defeating death.
Oh, man.
Or something. I don't know. That's where shit like this loses me. But if I ignore that, this movie ruled.
I mean,
he does have a gnarly quote. I wonder if they have it. I wanted to look this up.
What was it? What kind of was it?
That's what it. You'd be surprised at the things you find if you go looking.
Yeah.
Mm.
That fucking scene, that line hit hard. I was like, oh, shit.
Dude, his voice during that,
yeah,
during
goes,
that whole monologue.
It goes hard.
It was so hard. It was like, man, this sounds like, sounds evil. I can't really describe it. It's just like.
I lost my daughter to the abyss, but tonight I am calling
there's not,
her back.
Yeah, there's like not emotion in it, but there's. I don't know, some sort of resolve.
I love that he has the power to talk to people telepathically, but he had the wherewithal to call physically from the morgue just to toss some flavor in there.
Mm-hmm. I liked it because that was also like perfect horror game setup where like you come out of somewhere and you hear just the phone ringing. That's in a couple yeah. of the Silent Hills too. And you just have to... There is something ominous about just a phone ringing in an empty building. And the, when it just keeps ringing, because you know, they know you're going to answer that shit.
Yep. Yo, that shit happened in PT. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. That's so unnerving.
Also happened in Phone Booth with our main man, Colin Farrell.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That movie rules.
Let's go, baby.
Kiefer Sutherland. CF. Oh, baby.
Michael Bay was asked to direct that movie at first. And he was like, is there any way we can get it out of the fucking phone booth?
Yeah, and they immediately took the script. They're like, nah, this ain't
no,
for
this
you.
No, this ain't for you.
Wait, who are you?
Bay, how do we get him out of the fucking phone booth? But no, yeah, that line goes hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that when he says you'd be surprised at the things you find when you go looking, goddamn, does he. I wish people, you should see the fucking Sarah creature. The design, it's got like the fucking guts and shit coming out of its mouth already. The black eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it's partially, partially skull faced.
He's got a very Hellraiser resolve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just in the way that he talks, which is fascinating, kind of where the movie ends, where you have Daniel and his wife at the end of the movie. Very, very Hellraiser, hellscape-ish beneath that black pyramid. Mm-hmm. Like, I got just crazy flashes of that in it.
Yeah. Especially if you'd watched like Hellraiser 2.
Yep.
That was definitely
with the labyrinth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Even the void area. I love the shot at the end too, where like he's reunited with Sarah, I think is her name. But when they're in the void of the alien planet, I love the way it looks there, and they're just sort of looking up at the fucked up clouds.
Allison.
Yeah.
I do wonder what happened to the doctor dude, because he totally tackled his ass through that shit too. That scene where the fucking triangle is opening it up and you hear like the stone rubbing against each other and just that bright fucking white light. Damn, that shit. It goes so hard, man. This movie rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't express this enough. I had to watch it with ads because Amazon, whatever. And so that kind of sucked because you'd be watching, then all of a sudden it's 3.5 minutes of ads.
Yeah.
But if like anybody out there, you're listening
if you have,
to this.
If you have Plex or Tubi.
Or Peacock. I watched it ad free.
Yeah, Peacock.
On Peacock.
Plex, it's free. Oh, it's free without ads as well.
Fuck.
So.
Sorry.
I recommend you've got, I don't know, a little less than 2 weeks left of October. Sit down, watch it. It's a quick hour 30.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to sit down and watch it again and just kind of pick up stuff I missed. Because
a lot of it's set up like the stuff with the pregnant girl, you pick up on a lot and you're like, oh, okay. You just some of the shit that she says and you see this time.
Mm-hmm.
That one
mm-hmm.
plays really well on the rewatch. And just the fact that like knowing they're fucked and how everything like is designed to happen this way by the doctor is cool to
like,
see.
Like he even brings
time.
James to that place saying that he's going to get free heroin or whatever it is that he's trying to score. Meth, and it's actually that farmhouse, and so that topples those dominoes to, you know, she dies, he ends up, you know, in this hospital, which leads them there. It's this whole big
that's a good analogy too, is it like a domino effect like this one thing started it off and there's no real stopping it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they, you know, he's been paying these people to take drugs and have sex so that they can get impregnated so he can do this fucking it's all about bringing his daughter back from the dead, which when she comes back, man, she it's not his daughter.
No,
holy shit. Or if she's still his daughter, she's got fucked up when she went to the void. Dude, that birthing scene is so nasty when she just explodes out of the
stomach.
And then I do love when she, like, she's dragging the mom's body behind her because it's still connected to the umbilical cord. And it's got that fucked up, like, distorted pig noise. God.
Yeah. I like when the doctor had captured Allison and he's going through that whole thing while he's flaying his own face. And he's, like, talking to her about her own child's death and how, like, isn't it crazy? You're the lifeline via this umbilical cord. And that's what killed your daughter.
Yeah.
Got wrapped up. It was like, just the way that he says it is so cold.
That shit,
and it wasn't even meant to hurt her.
Yeah. That shit happened to my sister. She came out with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck and she was purple. She wasn't breathing.
Holy shit.
But they cut it off and got her back breathing and here she is. But I mean, that does happen. It's one of the more common ways that babies die in birth. And yeah, I like that reveal that like the deputy, our main character, and her are like married, and like the death of their child obviously affected them, and they've been estranged and not living together. And then the movie is, again, like you said, it's all about loss and dealing with loss, and there's healthy ways and unhealthy ways. And this movie is full of a lot of unhealthy ways, because these two are split. This doctor forms an entire cult and has how many fucking followers in this cult, all dedicated to bring this guy's daughter back? That's all that it's been about.
Wild.
And
And they just disappear at the end of the movie.
I think they, do they all die or just those two that were close to the void?
I think they all died.
It was a Heaven's Gate situation?
I think it was, because he talked about them transforming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but nobody transformed. Again, probably budgetary things. He had a budget, they all would have turned into cool-ass monsters that then died when the void got shut.
I love that all of the cultists were just like one third of all of the characters from Squid Games.
Yep. They had that design before Squid Games. They had it before. It was cool. Like I said, I like that it's very menicing. Just the white robe.
It was like if the Squid Games met the KKK.
That is a combo.
Is that why it was so threatening?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I will say that there is a distinct lack of color in this movie.
Yeah, it's very bland.
The one Asian girl.
It's all white people too. Yeah, that too. Well, come on, it's Canadian, bub.
Well.
You guys have like favorite parts of favorite monster? What did you like better, the Ashley or the Becky monster?
So one of the things I liked was like towards the end where what's his name,
Daniel,
no,
James, the Victor, Simon,
Vincent, Doctor. I think the quiet
Vincent
one.
The dad,
no, then it's Simon.
Simon,
he's running away from the, I think it was the Sarah monster.
Oh, in the hallway?
Yeah, in the hallway, and it's starting to get smaller and smaller, and then
that part was cool.
It was like that scene right there is definitely a throwback to Hellraiser 2.
Yeah. So that it was also like, I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier, but man, there are so many times where they would just like come into this new part of the hospital, and I'm like, how the fuck did nobody notice how fucked up this place was?
There's stairs.
There's people working here.
Yeah.
Well, he explains it that, like, the power of the void is, like, it's sort of, again, it's a Silent Hill-esque thing where, like, as they go further in the basement, like, it's twisting and distorting what rooms lead to where, like, and that's why I think, like, at the end when even it's crushing it, that's the hospital resetting to the way that it used to be. It's like going back, the walls are fixing themselves, and that's why he gets collapsing. Out. Yeah, and it's like, it's so, I thought that's the way that I was interpreting that, because they do mention that, like, he's even like,
that makes sense.
How the hell is all this shit down here?
Yeah. There's another subterranean level. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
I kind of interpreted it as like a space in between kind of thing.
Sure.
So open for movie interpretation.
Doesn't do a good job of telling you what it is.
No,
so.
And that's it leaves it leaves it to your interpretation. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know what? If that's how you interpret it, that's okay.
Yeah.
So,
whew. Yeah. This has been a very, very good month.
I've really enjoyed this Brookstober so far.
Oh yeah. No, this has been a good one in a hot minute for sure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I haven't heard that great of things about Salem's Lot, so.
Really? I've heard middling to okay.
I mean,
I've heard that it goes good. It just they sort of try to cram a lot in at the end. They a lot of people think it should have been like a mini series or something.
They feel like it should have been at least like a two-parter, like the original Salem's Lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only complaint I have. Which,
yeah, we'll get into that.
Feel that way too, but
yeah, I look forward to checking it out though. Boys, let's pretend figures wise that this movie cost. Okay, if $82,000 was what they raised for special effects, I'm gonna say that's matched that in terms of other costs in the movie, and that's just actually rounded out at like a smooth $150,000 to make this movie.
Okay, I was gonna say $250,000, but yeah, let's go $150,000. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, $150,000 to make this movie. Boys, how much do you think that this movie grossed worldwide?
Like I said, I know it's pretty popular. I'm going to split my two. I'm going to say $4
million. Okay. What about you, Brooks?
I don't think it made that much, but I don't think it made $1 million. Because I don't think I saw this pretty much anywhere. So under a million. We'll go 900,000.
900,000. Yeah, Kyle, you are very optimistic about movies. This made $368,000.
Wow. Okay, go me.
I don't really think it did much outside of like a very limited showing and a festival run.
Okay.
And then, you know, whatever they can get paid out to have streaming rights or whatever.
Rights, yeah.
But hey, I'm glad that it made something off of this.
It profited. And,
yeah.
So
they made its money back. Enjoyable. It's got a lot of positive word of mouth, which is kind of all an artist can really hope for, is that people enjoy your work.
In terms of a movie that I've never heard of before and is really low budget, I'm going to put this up and say, I think we did Blood Red Sky a couple of years ago, and this blows the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's really well liked too, which surprises me.
Now it's a low budget movie that doesn't quite feel low budget.
It looks incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do these guys just have 4K cameras sitting around somewhere in their house and like they didn't?
That's one thing I think like that part of filming has gotten easier, and that's maybe why so much stuff sucks now, because so many more people can make stuff that you get from the average Tom, Dick, and Harry. But you get the rarity from people that have passion and knowledge and desire. I think we should rank this, fellas. What's our order here?
Brooks to me to you to Brooks.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, Sean. Yo. If you were attacked by a giant, gnarly, tentacle-faced monster that had, say, 8 tentacles that it wanted to shove into your body.
All of your orifices.
Yeah. How many tentacles?
These are very strong tentacles.
Yeah. How many tentacles would penetrate you?
Wait, what's the maximum here?
Eight. I could have gone higher, but I think a squid face, you know, of 10 is kind of
excessive. That's fair. Davy Jones is attacking me, and he's gonna get. Oh man, this is tough. I'll take 7 tentacles. I really thought this was a really good, it went by at such a fast clip. The visuals and the practical effects and the monsters were so sick, even though it felt like, man, the plot line of this movie was just super glued and band-aided together to just have a through line that barely held together. Like, it was there just to explain this movie having been made. You know, it was barely there. And I don't care. Like, I don't care. The only thing that, again, I think really sucked in this movie was some of the acting, and that was a very small part of the actor base. So 7 out of 8, I thoroughly enjoyed grinding through this experience.
Nice.
Kyle.
Nice name drop, too.
Hey. Yeah, you said something the other day in a chat, and you're like, yeah, Sean's thing is like, you know, it's his enjoyment at the time of watching it. It's his experience. I'm like, man, that is true. I don't think I've thought of it that way. Such an idiot. Kyle, you are a police officer, and you are just witnessing some crazy shit happening in this hospital.
Yeah.
Like, some lady just stabbed a dude in the eye with scissors and then started cutting her face off. It was pretty wild. And then, like, the state trooper comes in, and he's like, oh, what's good? And you're like, hey, let me call it in. Let me go to my car. So you go to your car, right? And then you look up, and Kyle, there is anywhere from 0 to 14 Klan cultists hanging out at a distance, ready to attack you. How many do you see based on your enjoyment of this movie at the time of watching?
Oh, no hesitation. No second. 14, man. I really fucking like The Void. This is the third time I've seen this, I think. Enjoyed it just as much as the first two. It clips along perfectly. Like you said, it's 1 hour 30. Not a minute of that is wasted. It's all enjoyable. You do have to have the stomach for it because it is some gnarly, gross out scenes. They really are dedicated to the physical, practical effects. And it shows, man. Like I said, this movie's a love letter to The Thing. And I think it's a well-received love letter. So 14, man. I fucking love this. Well done, Brooks. Speaking of Brooks, Brooks, similar. You and your boy are on a cross-country rampage to murder every meth head you see. And in the process of killing those meth heads, you come across a tentacled former nurse that is swollen up to the size of a Bigfoot or a North American Yeti. And it has tentacles galore. What you have is a silver chrome fire axe. Out of 1 to 15 hardy whacks with this fire axe, how many whacks are you using to take down this tentacled hose beast?
I think I'm actually with you on this one, Kyle, and this is getting a 15 whack.
15 whacks.
15 whacks.
Nice.
The one nitpick that I could have is, like with Sean, it's the acting, but it was so insignificant to me for the pacing of this movie, the feel of this movie. This feels like a higher budget horror movie. It is shot that well. The story, again, I mean, I enjoy Doom just as much as anybody. The story is just there to move things along. This is
sure. Yeah.
That's what this movie is. It's not the best story in the world, but it didn't need to be. It told a story and it got it all the way through. And in a way that the chaos of the movie made the story make some sense.
I love at the end of the movie when you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and that's it. From the word go. This movie is just one big what the fuck. I did also another thing we didn't touch on is like that opening. I can't even remember it now, but I was like sitting there kind of like, okay, I kind of dig this opening like music here.
Oh, yeah. The soundtrack is pretty hip. It's got that synth weird. Bomp, yeah. Bomp, 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 bomp. That building pulse.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was equally enjoyable, too. And it's just like, okay. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I'm probably going to watch it again either tonight or tomorrow, to be honest, because I'm like,
nice.
I want to see what I missed.
It's an easy repeat view.
Yeah. And the fact, going with one of Sean's things that he likes, it's not that long of a movie. You know?
100%.
It's not just me, dog.
No, but I mean, seriously, you know, if it's a good movie, I could sit through a longer movie. But yeah. This one's a good movie and it's not that long.
Mm-hmm. Checking all of the boxes.
Yeah, 100%.
Love it. I'll say this too, fellas, on the subject of next week. You know, it is our show. It's Brooks's month. If we want to call it Audible and watch something besides Salem Lot, we can call the Audible. I ain't watched shit yet.
Does not matter.
I haven't watched it either. You know what's next
day. I have watched it.
Oh, you watched it?
All right. I have watched it, but I was going to anyway.
Bastards.
Yeah. I was going to anyway, because it's Stephen King. So, all right.
Yeah.
Whether we were going to discuss it or not, I don't care. But it was going to be on my watch list.
Well, all right. We'll talk about it off show. We'll see where
sounds
this
good.
Goes.
We'll leave this as a surprise for the listeners, whether we actually watch Do Salem's Lot or not.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But until, fucking... Again, fantastic choice, Brooks. This has been a great Brookstober boys.
This has been a good, you know, I guess this would be the last of the three man?
The classics. We'll see how they work out in the future.
But, I mean, this is, you know, this is a good way to kick it off, man.
This has been my favorite Brookstober.
So far, 100%, yeah.
Yeah. We still haven't figured out when we're playing Phasmophobia. I really do want to play that by the end of the month.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I was going to pitch something, too, when we get off the call. We'll see.
Cool. Yeah. My weekend is free.
I don't know. I guess I would tell the listeners to go Eldritch Horror. Brooks, it's your go, right? Is that what we decided? It's Brooks to Sean?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So, you are confronted.
Yeah.
By an Eldritch Horror.
Yep, I'm out of there. Going home.
You have the option to be sacrificed to said Eldritch Horror, because let's face it, you're either getting sacrificed or you are learning the unlearnable knowledge.
What the hell is the unlearnable knowledge?
It's, you know, like it's the stuff that drives you mad. Yeah. It's
the secrets of the universe that your human brain can't comprehend.
Yeah.
So my brain's going to melt.
Yeah.
Sick. Okay.
I mean, either way, this is not a good ending, but which one would you prefer?
I mean, probably have my brain melt. Like, that feels way less like if someone's sitting there and they're like, I'm gonna cut your stomach open as a sacrifice. Like, man, I don't want to see that blade coming at me. Let me have the unseen death. Let me my brain melt out my ears or something. That's what I'm taking. Is there 100%. Really any other option here?
That's what you get.
I mean, I mean, I would imagine that the sacrifice one would most likely be a quicker death.
No way, man. Probably not.
Depends.
Those things, they're going to freaking take their time and enjoy it.
Yeah, who knows? Ugh. That's the thing. You don't know. Gross. And who knows? Your brain might not melt.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm fine with that. Exactly. I'm all right, winning. Boys.
See you next week.
Bye.